Good morning, everybody. I'm very excited to be here today to tell you a little bit about missions at Second Presbyterian Church. And what a wonderful way to start off with that song. And I pray that our missions program here will raise the cross of Christ high across the world. For those here who don't know me, I'm Hugh Player, and I'm the missions chairman at here at Second Presbyterian Church. My wife Cindy and I have been members here for since 1980, and somewhere along the line we changed from being a new member to now an old member, and I'm not sure when that occurred. But I'm excited to tell you about missions work here at Second Presbyterian Church, and I really have three objectives for this presentation today. First of all, that God be glorified, because it's Him that has told us to go out and spread the gospel around the world. Secondly, I want to inform you of some things about the missions program here at Second Presbyterian Church. And my specific goal in that is that everybody here will learn something new about the mission program at Second Church. There may be a quiz at the end. And finally, I want to encourage you not only to support our missionaries financially, but to support them through the very important act of prayer for them. And so today I'll try to give you some specific information about some of the needs there are within the mission field. But let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to work within the field of missions. We thank you that you've called us to do that. We thank you that you show us how to do that. And, Father, I thank you for the many members here at Second Presbyterian Church that that support the effort of the mission work of Second Presbyterian Church. So I thank you for that. I pray that the presentation today will go well. I pray that I will use the time wisely this morning. These things I lift up to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, I want to tell you a little bit about our missions committee. And what I've put up here on the slide is what's actually in the operating manual of Second Presbyterian Church about what the missions committee is responsible for doing. You know, of course, we're given the directive from God to not only go into the world, but also to support those who go into the world with not only our financial means, but our prayers. And I want to draw your attention specifically to the line that's in quotation there, for Christ in South Carolina and the world, because we do have quite a few mission things that we do right here in South Carolina, and also around the world. And then also to let you know who is on the missions committee here at Second Presbyterian Church. Sarah Grubbs, Ramona White, Ken Wejack, Dennis Zimmerman, Mel Duncan, Richard Phillips, Brendan Bragnan, and myself, Hugh Player, who's the chairman of the committee. Now, our a number of years ago, our missions committee here at Second Church developed the philosophy that instead of having a lot of missionaries in a lot of places in the world, that we'd concentrate on fewer missionaries, support them at a higher level so that we can get to know them a little better. Know their needs and know them in particular a little better. So with that in mind, I wanted to show you just a graph here I've got of the world and where we are in some of the things that we are involved in around the world. And I'll come back to these arrows here and talk more specifically about what the specific programs that we're doing in these different areas of the world. You can see that there's a lot of places that we go around the world, and right here in South Carolina, and there are a lot more. But this is our program right now, and our program also specifically we're targeting two areas that we consider strategic areas in the world, and that is in the country of Peru and in the UK, where the Evangelical Presbyterian Church in England and Wales is one of the areas where we support. And part of the reasons for those specific areas are because they are important as far as church planting, church growth, and also there's a lot of work to be done in those areas. Now, next, I would like to show you a graph, a table, and a chart. Since I'm an engineer, I have to have a chart to show you, and so I hope this will get the point across to you of where we are investing, where we're spending the funds that are given to us in the church, and how we're using those funds. You can see that in 2021, our budget is $240,000. $570, and that represents 15.4% of our entire church operating budget. this budget, the actual dollar figures that's gone into missions has risen quite significantly dollar-wise. In the past 12 years, we have gone from a budget of $97,000 to the $240,000 that you see now, which it represents about 2.5 times an increase in the amount of funds that we give to the mission work at Second Church. Now, one of my goals was trying to get this to a 20% level, which has been a little elusive because as we go up with the budgets, with the midget missions budget, also the overall operating budget of the church has gone up. So it stayed pretty level, but you can see, but the point I want to make is that we have significantly gone up in the dollar values that we send out to the mission field. Now, as you can see, this pie chart I have here, the vast majority of what we spend goes to missionaries and church planting missionaries. Now, we have some other arbitrary divisions within our budget, and I want to talk first about those little small pieces of the pie first, and tell you about those, because there are some very exciting things that are going on in those areas. And then I want to come back to the bigger piece of the pie and tell you about specifically some of the missionaries and let you get to know the missionaries a little better. So first of all, we have the piece of the pie, which represents about 12% of our budget, which goes into campus ministries. Now, we have support Reform University Fellowship at Clemson, Furman, Anderson, and Wofford. So those are, you know, fairly local schools that we support Reform University Fellowship at. And then we, within that group, we also, in campus ministries, we also have a ministry which I'm very excited about, is Reformed University Fellowship International. That group is targeted specifically to international students that go to, in this case, Clemson. The idea there is to talk to the individuals that are come from foreign countries that are here right at our doorsteps, and teach them in the Reformed faith, and then as they go back to their homeland, with an education that will put them in a higher position within the country. So they're educated in Reformed faith and go back. Now, one of the other campus ministries, which is not very close to us at all, that's all the way over in Taiwan, at Christ College in Taiwan. Christ College has been a source of Christian education within the eastern area of the world. We support specifically Rebecca White at the work in Taiwan. We've also sent one of our own, Ramona White, has gone over for a couple of periods of time where she not only teaches, but she also fellowships with the students there. And Christ College in Taiwan is an area where, and I have to go back to pre-pandemic times, and that is that, they had students from mainland China, from India, from Korea that would come to Taiwan and get a Christian education in a foreign land, which is good. And I think everybody here, of course, everybody here knows about the pandemic situation where there's not much travel. But also, if you've Taiwan has been something in the news recently about, arguments with mainland China about whether they're independent or not independent. So there are problems there, and their prayers are needed for Christ College there in Taiwan, and specifically Becky White. The other close to the same volume, 11%, is the benevolences. And a couple of those I want to talk about specifically. Covenant Children's Home in India. This is an orphanage in India where they have approximately 400 children within the orphanage there, and they are taught a Reformed faith doctrine within this home. And my heart goes out to them quite often, because these are children that were born in a very dark land where they're all kind of religions. The government is obviously not a Christian government, but yet and also to be an orphan in the land of India, puts you at a very low level within the caste system within India. And so these children are there, and they're being taught the Reformed faith. I've seen they have a very strict calendar that they go through. They rise up early in the morning. They have to have a personal time in the Word. They have a chapel time in the Word. They go to school, and then they have an afternoon time of devotions. And then they also are taken to a local church that teaches the Reformed faith in the church there in India. A new thing that we have started this year is to support the Sheffield Pregnancy Advice Center in Sheffield, England. And that is I'll talk just a little bit more about that a little bit later, but that is a advice center for alternatives to abortions within the land of England. And one of the programs that, of course, I'm excited about, but also involved in it, is a prison ministry. Now, prison ministry doesn't really cost us anything. We have, we have a number of volunteers within the church here that go into prison to teach Sunday school. Also, we have a mentoring program used to take place. we've not been in the prison since March of last year, so we're coming up on a year where we have not been in the prison system. But the reason we have it in the budget is because over several years we have given a dinner for the inmates there in the prison. We set it up such that we give them a good Christmas dinner, turkey and all the fixings. And we also give them a gospel presentation, at that time. However, this past year, because of the virus situation, we were not able to go in. But providentially, the prison has raised enough funds to build a separate chapel building for the prisoners. They were using just the gym area for their Sunday services and any kind of church activities. Now they have, by funds available to them, a chapel. Well, what we did this year was we took the money that we had set aside for the dinner and we donated that to the chapel, so that the chapel now has a sound system provided to them by Second Presbyterian Church. We also have other local ministries that we support, such as Miracle Hills, Calvary Home for Children, Bethany Christian Service, Greenville Rescue Mission, Meals on Wheels, and Piedmont Women's Center. And so those are some local things that we support. Now, next, we support our denomination. We, of course, support Calvary Presbytery and some of the networking things that take place within the denomination. But we also are involved with organizing a new mission society. We call it the Reformed Missionary Society. And this is an alternative to Mission to the World, because we feel that the Mission to the World has moved slightly away from the objective of planting churches and have preachers in the churches. So the Reformed Missionary Society will concentrate on planting churches and putting missionaries or ordained Reformed pastors in those churches. This was a society formed by several of the churches within the PCA. As Dr. Phillips refers to it, he says the usual suspects were gathered together to form this society. Next, of course, we support our seminaries, both locally and around. The Greenville Seminary, the Reformed Theological Seminary, and Westminster Seminary. So that's part of the pie. Now, the committee expenses, I don't want you to think that I have this big budget that we use just for my purposes on the missions committee. My salary's not all that big. But we do have some other things that we are have the committee do. We have one of the big things we do is we pay for our pastors to go and do some missionary work. We've had Pastor Phillips go to England and Peru a couple of times to speak at missionary conferences and encourage them. We also send Pastor Bailey as a leader of our mission trips that we used to take, and Lord willing, we'll be taking again soon. So there's a small amount of missions expenses that we encounter. We also use these funds whenever you hear a missionary come to our church and tell us about their work. We usually have some funds associated with that to bring them here for you to hear. Now, that's those small pieces of the pie. Now I want to go to the big piece of the pie and talk to you about some of our missionaries that we have been supporting over a number of years and have just started supporting just recently. And there's no order of importance in the way I present these, because all of them are important in the work that they do in the field. But the first one I want to speak to is the Reverend Bill Carr, Bill and Susan Carr. They are currently serving, Bill is currently serving as a coordinator of Indigenous Ministries of North America to the Native American people, and he's located in northern Minnesota. And Bill he has a distinction that he went to the mission field to educationally teach, and served on the mission field with Gordon and Bobby Hauser. So he's one of the ones that have that distinction within our within those supported by us. Well, Bill came back after a short 2-year term and settled in with his family in eastern Tennessee, and then he was called to the ministry, and he came to Greenville to go to Greenville Seminary to get a seminary training, and he said, "I'm going to seminary even if I have to sleep in my car." And that's the point at which I met Bill. And so we were able to provide him somewhere better to sleep than in his car. But he left a very secure teaching position in Tennessee and to be trained in the ministry and to go specifically to the mission field. He served a number of years in church planning and preaching at in South Africa. And then Bill developed a health problem and a health issue which required him to come back to the U.S. And like I say, he's currently serving in northern Minnesota. One night a couple of years ago, I had a telephone conversation with Bill, and it was cold here. It was 30 degrees here. And when I told him that just came up in the conversation, he said, "Well, it's minus 30 here." And in his dry humor, he said, "And they expect it to get cold tomorrow." So, one of our other missionaries is Mark Mayhew, Mark and Eileen Mayhew. He lives in Florida, but he did travel to a lot of places in the world to talk to the French-speaking countries, especially in Africa. Mark was a Mark's my age. Mark was a child of the '60s, and Mark went searching the world for the truth. And Mark ran across somebody that presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to him in India, Calcutta, in the streets of Calcutta, India, and became a Christian. And just recently, Mark sent a note saying that his Reformed training started here at Second Presbyterian Church, and specifically under Paul Settle here at Second Church. Another one of our missionaries, Roger and Laura Dye, And I want to bring them up in particular because Laura Parks was a daughter of the church here. She grew up at Second Presbyterian Church as Laura Parks. She married Roger, and Roger was the son of missionaries that we supported years ago in Mexico. Roger and Laura served for a number of years in Chile, and they left Chile and moved back to South Carolina. They actually live in Winnsboro, South Carolina, and they they work with the marriage. They work as with a marriage ministry to the Latin American country. Specifically, they have a heart for the families there in Latin America because the marriage vows in the Latin American countries are not very strong. And so Roger has a heart for that and wants to teach him the biblical doctrine of marriage. And so he travels. Although he lives in South Carolina, he travels a lot. And if you'll bear with me just a slight side note, Laura had a great uncle who was a Presbyterian minister. His name was Dr. Russell Parks, and he was the minister of the church that I grew up in. In fact, it was to him and the session of that church that I gave my first public profession of faith. So we have a big connection there with the dive. A new missionary that we have taken on this year, Bertie Kona, serving in Albania. And for those who don't know, Bertie Kona is the brother of Frida Barbier. So he's serving in Albania, Durres, Albania, Durres Reformed Church. Now they came to the U.S. back last summer, about the July time frame, and you know, in the midst of all the virus, all the earthquake issues, and all that in Albania. There became a issue with the government allowing them to go back. So they have they've been here in the U.S. for since last summer. But praise the Lord, they now have tickets and are planning on to return. I think the tickets they have are March 1st, and they'll be leaving and go back. They also have a family that's going to help serve with them in Durres at the Reformed Presbyterian Church. So this is a new mission support that we have this year, but connected to the church through brother and sister. Jagar and Jemima Shinovan, they serve. They're doing church plant work in northern Virginia. At Fairfax County, Virginia, starting they call it the First Asian Indian Presbyterian Church. It's a reformed work that's ongoing there in Virginia. Now, Jagar is quite a story because he was raised Hindu. He was in a Hindu family, and he was presented the gospel through a local a community activity, a basketball program. The gospel was presented to him, and he truly is one that we can say came out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. So pray for him. There's issues, ongoing issues that he has lost some of his support because of his immigration status. So be praying for that he has continued support. We have increased his support over the last year, and we have used some of our funds to be able to help them out in Northern Virginia. Now move a little bit to the UK. We support Kevin and Maria Bidwell. Kevin had a very which probably would have turned out to be a very lucrative career with the Coca-Cola company, but he was called into the ministry and he went to seminary and he started the church work in Sheffield, England. And you can see from my map there, Sheffield is located, for those who don't know, Sheffield is located about central England, serving as Sheffield Presbyterian Church. Kevin has had some sickness recently, but he's now back in the pulpit, and those of us who've communicated with him know that he's back to being Kevin himself, very enthusiastic. You know, a lot of times you can learn a lot about people by what they say privately, not necessarily publicly, but I was always impressed with Kevin because, you know, in situations where he did not need to tell people what he did, he would tell, you know, like the waiter and the waitress at restaurants or the person at the coffee shop, you know, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Kevin, one side note about the Sheffield Church, the Hilltop Chapel, historical chapel built in 1629, they just recently had added on to that. But also for those historians here, first pastor of the Hilltop Chapel was the Reverend Stanley Gower, who was one of the Westminster Divines back in those days. So Kevin and Maria Bidwell. Andy and Divina Young serve at Oxford Presbyterian Church in England. Now, Oxford, the city of Oxford, has been told by several people that City of Oxford is the atheistic center of the world. So to have a reformed work there in Oxford is great. And one of the big items to pray for there is their negotiations on the ability to use what was built as a church there in downtown Oxford, the Northgate Hall Methodist Church. It currently is being used as a restaurant, and you know, one of the good things about the virus situation is the restaurant had financial troubles, went out of business, so the owners of the building are looking for a tenant, and pray that happens. You know, one of the things that was real heartbreaking to me as I traveled into England over several years is seeing the number of church buildings that were being used for other things, restaurants, home garden shops, and that kind of thing. So to see this come back to this building to come back used as a church building is great for me. Also in England, in Hexham, England, you can see on my map there where I've marked out where Hexham is in northern part of England, Josh and Gina Rieger. I want to mention real quickly that a real prayer concern there is Gina Rieger, who is undergoing treatments for cancer. They have been back in the U.S. for about 6 months now, and Gina is undergoing treatment. She went through a series of treatments that were effective in reducing the tumors, but her next level of treatment is much more aggressive, and she'll have a hard time there. So pray for the Riegers, especially Gina Rieger. Moving into another part of the world, Peru, the Ramirez, Alonzo and Esther Ramirez. Alonzo is one, and they work specifically in Calamarca, Peru. And you can see on my map where Calamarca is. But they have, we've been working with Peru for a number of years, almost 25 years. We've been going, sending mission trips down to Peru. Now, Alonzo is reaching retirement age. But as it turns out, Alonzo has a brother who is very involved with the work there, and his brother is about 20 years younger than Alonzo is. So he has no seminary education and so forth. So we are working to bring him, Edward, and his wife, Sandra, here to the U.S. to be trained in seminary at the Greenville Theological Seminary. And that will take place a little bit later this year, and Edward and Sandra will be worshiping here with us at Second Presbyterian Church, so you'll see them soon. Other missionaries mentioned real quick as we're running out of time, Octavius Delphi's and Etienne in Haiti. We used to go to Haiti quite frequently from this church, but travel got to be very dangerous to go to Haiti, and so we have moved from Haiti to go into the UK now. We have Mikhail Wagi serving in Egypt, and then we have June Gallman serving in Costa Rica. June Gallman was here just a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. June has a prison ministry. She goes to the prison, the women in the prison in Costa Rica. She also trains and does evangelism. June credits a lot of her enthusiasm about evangelism to her evangelism, her EE training that she had with Ken Safford here in Greenville. In Mexico, the Salinases, just yesterday was a year ago that Guillermo came to Greenville to be treated for cancer, and now he's considered cancer-free. And so praise the Lord for that. But they have, the Salinases do a lot of work. Gilmore does a lot of evangelism training, EE training. He has a prison ministry that he takes care of. He does some seminary level teaching there locally in Mexico. And his wife also has a puppet program that she takes around to the center of cities and presents a gospel message through the use of puppet, you know, attracting the children, attract the children, and you will attract the adults to that. Christian, Ray Call in Belize, minister and church planning there. Stephen Atkinson, he has a ministry to the Jewish population, taking the gospel of Christ back to the Jews. And if you don't know Stephen, if you look up enthusiastic in your dictionary, you may find a picture of Stephen there. In Germany, Johannes Mueller, which is a church plant of from England. And then Taylor's, we have a international church there that we support. I think you know William Castro and Emmanuel Upstate, and we've been able to supply them some funds to purchase a church building of their own. As I quickly wrap up, some of the things that I mentioned already, you know, may God be glorified by support of missions, and may our supported missionaries not become discouraged in their work or the trials they face. Pray for the missions committee. And pray for us also as we use the excess funds from 2020. I think you heard Joel mention last week in his financial report that we had a significant amount of funds over our budget from last year, and so we elected to take 50% of those funds and use those in the mission field. Now, a couple of things that we have designated that for, one of them in particular is to support one of the daughters of our church, Katie Upton, in her work with Rafiki coming up later. So that was quick, went over just a little bit, but I pray that you were informed about the missions program. And I'll be around. You know that I'm around a lot. If you got questions about any of the work on the missions, I'd love to hear from you. So let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, again, I thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you by supporting various missionaries throughout the world. Father, I thank you for those within the congregation of Second Church that are enthused about missions. I thank you for the session's approval of the funds that we have for the missions. And Father, I just lift this up to you and pray that you will be honored and glorified with the work we do in the mission area. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.